Welcome into the Nuts. I'm Amal Shaw. That's Mike Palm. We've got a loaded show on tap today. Yahoo Sports' Frank Schwab is going to join us, one of the best gambling sports writers in the nation. He's going to break down some things regarding the draft. But big news out of Cleveland. My man, the number former overall number one pick, Jadeveon Clowney, is now going to be joining up with Myles Garrett on that defensive front. How much of an impact do you think this has on the Browns?
Well, I think you have to focus. You have to still focus on Clowney, right? You can't disregard him, which is going to make for a huge season for Myles Garrett. I mean, if you want to start betting Myles Garrett in some props and take a look at him for Defensive Player of the Year when they're posted, I think that's reasonable. I mean, it's pretty big news. I expect Michael Lombardi to show up this morning. He'd be so excited that Clowney's back in the league.
All right, it's a one-year deal for $10 million. In the Browns, you look at their over-under win total at 9.5. This is a team I thought was really solid. Baker Mayfield, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. The second half of the season last year, tremendous performance in the postseason in the first game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then, of course, tough game against Kansas City, but competitive.
Yeah, I thought they performed very well. I thought they flattered themselves in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Henny had to come in relief there. Still, they had a shot in that game. And, I mean, this team is right on the verge. We knew if they could improve their defense that the offense has become much more efficient. They have a solid running game. Baker Mayfield is on the improve. And look, they've been looking to get Clowney for years. They wanted to get Clowney. Now they get him at a fraction of the price and for a year. And if he's at all right, it's a great deal for them.
Yep, so you're right. The former number one overall pick out of South Carolina. Browns right now 20-1 to win the Super Bowl, 9-1 for the AFC, and then, of course, plus 175 to win the AFC North. To make the playoffs, they're minus 177. To miss, they're plus 144. You have to like their chances. Do you see them as the number one team, number two, or number three team in the AFC North when you look at the rest of that division?
I really see them as the number two team. I still think that the Ravens are the team to beat.
They're plus 110 to win the
division. Yeah, and the Ravens have been just outstanding in the regular season.
Yeah.
But they really go with Lamar Jackson, right? And when you have a running quarterback, there is that risk that he's going to get injured, right? And so it's more precarious. But the Ravens are probably the most balanced team between offense and defense, and they've been very efficient over the last few years, posting great regular season. But I think this Brown team's on the rise. I think you fade Pittsburgh here, and I think Cincinnati will be better than people think as well.
You mentioned the Steelers. They're 3.5-1 to win the division. The Bengals at 25-1, so really long odds on them. I think with Joe Burrow healthy and depending on what they do in the draft, I'd love to see them take Penei Sewell, the left tackle out of Oregon, could really help them out because Joe Burrow coming off that knee injury, you want him to be healthy and upright.
You need to be in the five spot to pick Sewell. I don't know. I'm looking at it, and we can ask Frank Schwab later when he's on the program. You think they'll trade down to a team that's looking to get a quarterback? You know, the five quarterbacks might go 1 through 5 if we see, obviously, Atlanta talking about trading their pick and maybe the Bengals as well.
To me, unless you're getting a big haul, if you're Cincinnati, I don't see why you do that. You need an offensive lineman. That's their biggest weakness because that'll all not only help Burrow, but it'll help your running game as well. I mean, they are just atrocious at times, averaging less than 3 yards a carry.
I agree with you, and it doesn't matter to go out and get a tight end or a wide receiver if you can't block for Burrow. Yeah. Burrow won't be around long. I mean, he's going to play 4 or 5 games again.
It'll really be the NFL, not for long for him. I mean, the bottom line is you've got a franchise quarterback. You look in this division, everybody's got first-round quarterbacks. You've got two first overall quarterbacks in Burrow and, of course, Baker Mayfield. Lamar Jackson, the last pick in the first round. Ben Roethlisberger, a former first-round pick. I think there's an opportunity here if you're Cincinnati. The Browns are trending up for the next couple of years. Cincinnati's got an opportunity. I think Baltimore is right there. They're going to be there for several years with Lamar Jackson. On the flip side, I think Pittsburgh is the one team you could see going into a decline.
When you look at the NFC, I think we can reasonably say that the strongest division is the West, the most competitive division, the team that division doesn't really have a very weak team. And I think when you look at the AFC, I think the AFC North is better than the AFC West overall and should be a great competitive division as well.
I don't think that's much of a debate. I mean, who's sitting there putting the Raiders and the Broncos ahead of any of the teams in the AFC North?
San Diego could be very good this year, and you've got obviously, the preemptive team you have to beat in the Chiefs. I don't know. I thought Clowney made a difference for Seattle. I thought Seattle missed him this year, not having him, especially the first half of the year when they were all-time bad on defense. And I think he makes an impact with the Browns.
By the way, if we find you every time you call the Chargers San Diego, you would actually owe the producer money by the end of the week.
It's possible.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line, forget working for free. You would actually be in debt.
Oh, but quickly.
But this Chargers team, I think with Justin Herbert, really has a chance. They've got to get healthier. That's the big question mark with them, but they've got a ton of talent.
They have a ton of talent. They're deep on both sides of the ball, and maybe now they'll get a coach that can manage a game.
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started. Let me at least have a few months off to relax before we get into some of these bad coaching decisions. We'll see a litany of them as the season approaches. Even in the preseason, you see some bad ones, so we'll pay attention to that. Welcome into the Nuts. I'm Amal Shaw. That is Mike Palm. Terrific show on tap today. Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports writer, is going to join us. Really has a focus on gambling. Really insightful. He's had tremendous success in the Super Contest in the past as well. But before we join him in about 35, 40 minutes, want to get into a ton of different things. Baseball on tap, Major League Baseball. We'll break all those things down. But I want to start with a game yesterday. You talked about the pitching matchup. Shane Bieber of the Cleveland Indians last night. Outstanding. Goes 9 innings and gets a rare win as the game goes extra innings.
Yeah, you were right, Amal. You can't bet under 6.5 there at Comiskey. And
I tell you what, my man, you want to start taking shots. I tried to tell you to take the two games under in the Champions League. Yeah. I told you last week that game was going
right.
over.
You were right. I took the Bayern game under, but I should have taken that Porto game under.
Hey, Stars game go under last night?
I got on it.
I just want to make sure.
I actually got on it at a better price than you when it was 1-1 in the first. Then having to lay the 35, I actually got on it a little plus on 5.5.
Before we get into that Indians game, I didn't stay up late enough last night. What happened in the Giants game?
The Giants,
choking. Let's go.
Wait a minute. The zigzag again. If I'd have bet Castillo first five, I win again. I can't get it right. Back to your point. I love this. I mean, I don't think you have to say you're a purist to love a pitching duel in baseball. And you got to see the best Bieber and Giolito go at it last night. I give Francona credit. Here's what I think. And I think this can be a harbinger for things. And I'm starting to change my opinion a little bit on the Indians, who I thought might have had the biggest decline in baseball because of the loss of productivity in the lineup. You see guys like Bauer, who went deep again for the Dodgers last night. Through the years, Francona has led his pitchers. When the trend in baseball was 90 pitches, we got to get somebody warming up for our top starters. Francona has let his guys regularly throw 115, regularly throw 120, and even 130 pitches. You saw that last night. They let Bieber go 9. They score in the top of the 10th. He's the first starting pitcher to earn a decision in an extra inning game in 9 years in Major League Baseball. Think about that. They don't even let their aces go anymore. And you have a young pitching staff here with Cleveland that he can develop. I think Savali is a potential to be another Cy Young candidate, like Bieber was a unanimous Cy Young last year.
Yeah, Aaron Savali.
Plesac, right?
He goes today against Rodon.
Plesac's been very good, a 1.38 so far this year. You know, he had some issues with the COVID last year and the questioning with the team. I think he can be a leader. I think you have a lot of potential, and McKenzie throws the ball very hard. He's got to learn to be a pitcher. Logan Allen's been good this year. They have a starting rotation, and if they can develop them, I think they can overcome the lack of hitting. And maybe this division, they have a better shot than we think. I mean, at 9-1 to win the AL Central is a little bit enticing right now when you see the starting pitching be this strong.
Well, I would agree with you there. Twins and White Sox, neither of them off to a stellar start, both at .500 right now. You have the Royals sitting at .500 as well, at 4-6. Detroit Tigers a little bit improved at 4-6. Go ahead. You're smiling. You want to say something?
Well, yeah, the Royals seem to be the threat. I mean, that was identified on the network at 40-1.
You know, there's a lot of teams that are identified. Can we just post all the losing tickets? I don't want to be like everybody else on social media that only posts winning tickets after they win. So, you know, we should ask those guys to post those Royals tickets when they've taken them right now with the chance to win this division. We'll see if that materializes. They got the win yesterday, 3-2. But getting back to your point on the Indians, I love their pitching. And I think as the postseason approaches, you get into October, it's colder in Cleveland. You have a great opportunity. Games are a lot less or lower scoring, but can they get a bat? They just don't have the consistency. Losing Lindor changes the dynamic of that lineup so much.
A lot.
Yeah.
At the top of that lineup, and now all of a sudden they become very dependent on Ramirez. They lose a lot of their power. Obviously, Lindor gave them power from early in the lineup, either hitting first or second. So they have to develop some younger guys at the bottom of the lineup as well. But I think they can be competitive for a long time in this division. We still have to see, right? Is Berrios going to be? He was great his first start. He wasn't as good as second start. Very interesting doubleheader today in Minneapolis, right? Where you have both. It's the aces of both staffs going, and you get Maeda game one, Berrios game two. I think this is going to be a very interesting division. And the Tigers look to be a little bit improved as well. They've gotten, obviously, a big turnaround for Matthew Boyd, who went in and beat the Astros the other night.
He called that one last night. Great, great call. The plus 160. Plus,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think this could end up being a very interesting division. I mean, the White Sox, the injuries are going to be a problem for them. Can they get depth at the bottom of that rotation? I like the way La Russa manages. But at 9-1, I mean, they're really the team I think that you have to look at, focus in on having the value right now early in the season.
I would agree with you there in terms of the Indians. You look at that. I don't think the White Sox are an even money play currently. No. You're also looking at the Twins plus 125. You mentioned the Indians. I'm seeing Kernan's at DraftKings at 7-1. I just don't think you can take either of those two teams that I mentioned. I think it's Cleveland, or if you want to take a shot with Kansas City, or if you want to really live dangerously, take a look at the Tigers at 60-1. But other than that, to me, I just don't have that much interest in betting the two front runners for this division.
Yeah, I'm not going to bet even money. It's like a horse race where there's two even money choices. Usually neither one of them is a good bet.
I'm going to take your word for it. I've never bet a horse race in my life.
Doyle and I will start teaching you. We'll go out and we'll have a case of beers. We'll talk about Kendall Gill and we'll bet some horses.
I'm in for that. If we're going to get the Kendall Gill story, I'm in for that one there. But speaking of surprise teams, how about in the American League East? Obviously, everyone picks the Yankees. I don't even know if people actually pay attention to the Yankees and they just blindly pick this team every year. But the Boston Red Sox are coming on. And I think the reason why the Red Sox are so interesting is because they're a team, along with several other teams, that if they make a push, they will make some moves by the trade deadline. Ownership has enough money.
They do. And here's the thing when we talk about surprise team. Remember, we don't know what Sale's going to be when he comes back.
That's true.
One of the most dominant pitchers in baseball over 5 years until he got hurt. So there's that upside where he's coming back. I say that about the Reds, too. They can get signed. Look at these teams that they're missing their ace, and they haven't got him yet, and they're still performing well. They lose the first three at home to Baltimore, and I thought this division was clearly striated with the Yankees, Blue Jays, and Rays at the top, and it was going to be Baltimore and Boston at the bottom. It's totally flipped. Yeah. And right now, Boston's playing the best of anybody and playing the most consistent. They went in there, they rallied yesterday, came from behind and got the win. I'd say today is a very interesting doubleheader in Minneapolis. If you can take Evoldi and Rodriguez and go in there and even get a split against Maeda and Berrios, it's very impressive.
Yeah, that game just underway right now up in Minneapolis. They, as Mike alluded to, doubleheader. The second game is going to go at 5:40 Eastern. It's going to be Rodriguez, and you alluded to it earlier, Berrios, who's gotten off to a tremendous start so far for this team. I don't know if Boston's going to be able to sustain it offensively, but a seven-game winning streak, especially when you get swept on the opening weekend by Baltimore, comes as a bit of a surprise, but a great turnaround. And I think just like in anything else, when you start to have success, it builds confidence. And when you look at this Boston team, I think that'll help them as they continue to go forward. Imagine if today, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if they got a two-game sweep on this doubleheader, I mean, it would be unbelievable moving forward. You come in with a nine-game winning streak going forward. It just gives you a ton of forward momentum.
Yeah, you look at, will they get consistency offensively? So far, they've done very well. I just think, you know, you get J.D. Martinez anchoring that line. He's so good. I mean, he's just one of the best hitters in baseball. Hits for power, hits for average, and you build around him, and it's going to be very interesting. Are they going to be able to sustain the starting pitching? They don't have a lot of big names. Evoldi's got a bounce back. I mean, they're looking for bounce back years from a lot of guys, and maybe they get it, but they certainly add a new dynamic to the AL East, and the Yankees haven't performed as, you know, the Yankees were thought to be as presumptive as the Dodgers, that it was going to be a walkover in the American League. It's not the case at all.
Well, I never understood when I looked at the futures odds why the Yankees were just right there at the top near the Dodgers. I'm like, they're not the same teams. The Dodgers defending World Series champions. Yes, I get on paper. I'm a big DJ LeMahieu guy, but I'm not a big Stanton guy. You know what? It looks great when he hits a 450-foot homer, but what about the other 19 times he's striking out? That's the concern I have. I look at this team. They're not the same from a lineup perspective. Pitching, I have some question marks once you get past Cole. Who's going to be the consistent guy? I like Jameson Taillon and what he can do, but outside of one and two, where do you see this team?
Yeah, that's what it's going to be. And we're going to get another today with Kluber, right? Yeah. Kluber was awful in Tampa Bay. I bet him as a small favorite. He got run support and still got ran out of Tropicana there last time out. So we'll see him today against Toronto. Obviously, Ryu outdealed Talon last night. It wasn't even close. Talon gave up five, and Ryu was terrific again in six innings last night. You're right. There's too many guys that don't hit the contact in that lineup. That they go through droughts because they don't have the consistent putting the ball in play.
Let me give you a quick positive stat on Corey Kluber from today's game. He's already started there through three innings. He's got four strikeouts. Now let me give you the bad news. He's only pitched three innings, five hits, three earned runs, two walks, and two homers. I mean, this guy's getting shelled early on. If he doesn't find himself, it could be a problem.
I said before the season, if you can pick one player in a division that's going to tell the story, I thought Kluber would be the story
if he's successful or not.
If he cannot be a solid number two, then the Yankees become very vulnerable.
Absolutely. Let's go out west to a couple of teams that have surprised me thus far. In the American League, the Los Angeles Angels have been terrific. They get off to a 7-3 start. We've seen the struggles that the Oakland A's have had thus far. This is a team now starting to come together a little bit. But still, when you look at the Angels coming out in front at 7-3, with that lineup, if they are a contender, Artie Moreno is going to go out and spend some money. I mean, when you can waste 10 years and $240 million on Pujols, nothing should be off limits.
Yeah. I wonder they didn't get more starting pitching in the offseason. Maybe he was going to look to see if this team was going to be competitive in the early half and go out and get somebody, and I agree with you there. You know, I always laugh and say, how do you build a team around Dylan Bundy as your ace? Well, he's been good so far, right? Haney always had a lot of potential, Mr. Haney. Quintana, obviously coming off the injury and moving to the American League, could be effective. I like Canning today because I think that Keller's been so bad this year.
Big bad Brad Keller?
I didn't list Canning. Anybody against Keller I took today. It's a rare time I list the opposing pitcher. He's been awful so far.
I like this game over 8.5. Yeah. I didn't put it in the plays because it's already started and we won't have the plays until about another 30 minutes.
I'm going to stop you there. Yeah. Okay. And for people that are new turning in, don't feel bad about putting a game that goes right as we go on air or earlier in the playbook like I did with the Brewers. Because if you send it in early, Bill 80 will put it in the Best Bets email. I mean, I'm not sure if you've ever been in the Best Bets email because we have a lot of Gil's guests that line it. But every day he's going to send out this email around 9 o'clock Pacific, noon Eastern with the host Best Bets as well as all their guest Best Bets. So I don't feel bad because the people that subscribe to VSiN still get access to the play.
Well, it's good. I didn't realize. So you must be sending them in directly.
I do. I send it to Bill and to Jacob for the show.
Obviously I do too, but most of my plays, I make usually at about 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night the previous night because as soon as the overnight lines come up. And so this was a game I thought with Canning on the mound and, of course, Keller on the mound, I thought day game, chances are one of these teams is not going to be limited to under 4 runs.
I looked at it that way too. I said that 8 and 8.5 was going to be too low here, but Angels cheap favorite on the road here, so I took the Angels instead of the total. Hard for me to bet overs in my DNA.
Yeah, I know that, but I mean, I just don't get it. I mean, yeah, anyway, let's move on from that. I think this is a team that could be a potential challenger, something to pay attention to. Want to stay out west, but let's go to the senior circuit, the National League. You've got, obviously, the Giants, who are a team. I don't think they're going to win the division. I'm not trying to talk about them in that perspective. But when you look at how good the Padres are, even without Tatis right now, the Dodgers 8-2. Giants off to a great start so far in terms of what they've been able to do.
I'm surprised. I thought the bullpen was terrible. That's part of the reason why I bet Castillo full game last night. Mm-hmm. And it turns out they're ahead 5-2. Well, first of all, they score 4 in the top of the first, and then he gives up 4. But they're ahead 5-4 after 5, and the Giants' bullpen, when they turned it over to the Reds' bullpen, was better. The Reds' bullpen gave up 3 runs. The Giants' bullpen only gave up a run. Somehow they're putting it together. You know, Taylor Rogers' brother, Tyler, who's, you know, you think of Taylor, who blew all those games for Maeda, the hard-throwing lefty. You get this submarining right-handy, twin brothers. He was good last night. They've got McGee. They've been using Whistler so far, and I don't know if I've ever, you know, thought I'd ever save this. Gabe Kapler's pushing all the right buttons so far with the Giants, and they're competitive. They play these low-scoring games. They're winning the one-run games. Aaron Sanchez has been good. Gausman was good after the first inning again last night, gave him a solid effort. We'll see how they sustain.
Out of the three teams we mentioned, Boston, the Angels, and, of course, the Giants, any of these teams that you think would be worth a futures play on, when you look at it right now, the odds for the Giants are 80-1 to win the World Series. The league is 60-1. Division 50-1. I don't see that happening. Angels to win the World Series 38-1. The league, they're 17-1. Division is plus 275. Red Sox right now 40-1, 23-1 to win the American League, and then plus 750 to win the division. To me, it would be Boston.
Well, you know, in which one? To win the East division, at 750?
Yeah.
I would look at the – it's a shorter price, but why I say the Angels? Because you really isolate Houston there.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think the A's, the Mariners, or the Rangers are going to be competitive.
That's true.
You get into a two-team race, and you're getting almost 3-1. I do like – obviously, the Red Sox are more attractive, but you're going to have to go through – still, you're going to have to beat the Yankees. Still, you're going to have to beat Kevin Cash, and Tampa Bay's always going to be competitive. And the you know, the Bedouin team, the Toronto Blue Jays, that travel all over and play their game. You still got to overcome three teams in that division, where it's probably just one in the West.
What about the Angels at 38-1 to win the World Series, and the Red Sox even at 40-1? The one thing to me is both of these teams have a major advantage. They're major metropolitan city teams that, if they're in contention, they will go out and make some acquisitions. You imagine at a trade deadline, you go out and get a number one starter if you're Boston or if you're the Angels, that gives you an opportunity where in the postseason you can get this guy in there twice. When you get a team at 38 or 40-1, it's not about them necessarily winning the World Series, but giving yourself an opportunity to really make a hedge play in the postseason. It becomes a tremendous profit place.
You know, I look at the Giants here, 80-1 to win the World Series, 60-1 to win the league, and 50-1 to win. They should be 5,000-1 to win the division. Yeah. I mean, every even the Padres should be like 60. I mean, it's. Well, I look at this Dodgers. But seriously, no.
The Dodgers are gonna, bookmakers don't want to give out fair odds.
I look at the Dodgers every night. I mean, it's just. This team might win 120 games. They get a quality start every time out. They've got a stack line. I mean, it's amazing, though.
What did Bauer give up? One hit last night in 7?
Again, well, he took a no-hitter into the 7th against the Rockies in Coors, and he gave up one hit in 7 last night.
He's been unbelievable, and that number in the Rockies game was a little bit skewed because he stayed in there, ran into a little bit of trouble. I thought they were going to pull him after he gave up a hit, but they chose to stick with him. He's really gotten off to a fast start.
Carrot Top will be a $3 favorite tonight. I mean, where does it end?
Dustin May, of course, going. I mean, this team is very deep. They're going to be very dangerous. Right now we see a total of 8 at the Ravine tonight. Dodgers are minus two, seven and a half in this one, minus 275, and a money line price of plus 225.
You know, when you talk about the Red Sox here, though, it's not bad. You take them plus 750 or even the league at 23-1 and hope that Sale comes back and Sale's right. I mean, you add Sale to it. Now, obviously, that changes the odds on them dramatically if you get the dominant Chris Sale that we saw for 6 or 7 years leading into the injury.
Yeah, I mean, to me, he's a guy that can be a difference maker. I'm a big Chris Sale guy. Now, the one issue that was with him in the past was he'd break down as you get into August and September. But because he's missing the early stage of the season, it might be a benefit for them as they get later in the season.
Yeah, and then you had the opposite problem where they did the Red Sox didn't get their pitchers ready in spring training, as our friend Wayne pointed out to us, and they all struggled off the bat because they didn't get them any length in spring training, and then he broke down, obviously.
Yeah, that's one thing you have to be concerned with going forward with these teams. I'm just telling you, Boston off to a fast start. You're facing Maeda and Berrios today. If you can sweep this doubleheader, you're at 9-3, and I understand it's early. I'm not saying they're playing the division and the ticker tape parade right now. But all I'm saying is at this point in time, it's an opportunity you take them at 40-1.
I get it. I mean, if you're 9-3, you can really coast through the last 150.
And you get it also to take some overs, but you don't play them either.
Hard to. I think they come away with the split today. They're in good shape at 8-4, and you go through their top two pitchers.
Yeah, I would agree with you completely. When we come back, going to the NBA, big news out of a big matchup tonight, and in terms of who's going to be in the lineup and who's not, we'll let you know what game that is next. The NBA, Mike Palm, terrific matchup tonight, on paper at least, between the Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers. But no surprise here, we've got a litany of players for the Brooklyn Nets out tonight. Kevin Durant out, Blake Griffin out, both of those guys due to rest. James Harden with the hamstring issue. LaMarcus Aldridge out due to an illness. I mean, when you look at it, just key cogs all over the place. Kyrie Irving is expected to play in this one for the Brooklyn Nets.
We're seeing the number reflect that. This opened up 6, 6.5. It's up to 8 in some places here. George Hill won't play for the 76ers, but other than that, they should have their full complement. 76ers won this matchup in Philadelphia 124-108 back in February 6th. Embiid was the leading scorer, 33 for the 76ers on that night. Harden had 26 for the Nets. Interesting now, New Jersey, we assume, will be the one seed. They're going to win the East, minus 120 to win the East. Now, Philadelphia's a half game in front and can put themselves a game and a half in front with a win tonight at home.
To me, this is one where you look at, for Philadelphia, a very important game. Yes. They have to be able to get this game. Right now, when you look in the standings, both of these teams at 37-17, 18 games remaining. Remember, it's a 72-game schedule this year, so in that condensed season. And I looked at both teams' remaining schedules, Mike, about even. They both play Milwaukee twice, and everyone's discounting the Bucks. But they have an opportunity, if they win those four head-to-head matchups against Philadelphia and Brooklyn, potentially to get into that one seed. And we've talked about this throughout the course of the season. The one seed in the Eastern Conference is so vitally important, because then in the second round, you avoid that potential matchup of having to play Milwaukee, Brooklyn, or Philadelphia, one of those teams, vice versa, and you could just play one of them in the finals.
You keep assuming that the Heat are not going to rise to prominence here with all their new pieces and that it's a three-team division.
You know, I apologize. I completely forgot. I should give some love to my people in Dade County. You know, I forgot they have LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. Oh, no, they don't. Don't worry. They're not going anywhere. Last year, they were in the bubble. They were the only team that was used to the humidity down in Central Florida. That's the reason why they were able to emerge.
Back to this game, Amal. I agree with you, and I like your angles handicapping the NBA when you say evaluate which team the game is more important to. This game much more important to Philadelphia.
No question about it. No question about it.
Brooklyn has all the excuses written in here. They don't have anybody playing. If they come up with a great performance, that's great, but they're expected to lose this game. It's 8 points now. I think Kyrie will play to give them a shot. We don't know, but he is available. Philadelphia can't afford to lose this game.
No, they cannot. You're absolutely right. Can you imagine if you lose this game without the four key players out for this team already? That would be huge, especially to me with Durant taking rest, having played last night in Minnesota. Just be a bitter pill to swallow for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Are you interested in making a play on this game tonight?
I'm not going to tell you that yet.
Oh, I see. We must have a multiple plays in them all in.
Oh, look at this guy. Where'd you do your advanced training? Quantico or Langley? Way to crack that case, detective. I tell you what, let's go to a matchup today between the Knicks and the Pelicans. This should be an intriguing one. This New York Knicks team has been really impressive in terms of how much they've improved under Tom Thibodeau defensively and how much more competitive they are. You look at the Pelicans, I think they just have having a little bit of difficulty, four games under 500 because they're in the Western Conference, but this is still a decent squad. They've won three in a row, Mike. Now they host the Knicks tonight at home, minus three in this one with a total of 219.
This is an interesting one because you have a team that, you know, you set totals in the 230s and a team that you set totals at, you know, 208, 209, 210 with the Knicks. So it's a contrast in philosophy and of style here. You land sort of in the middle at 219. Who's going to have the will of the game, right? Which way is it going to be played? I don't know. The Knicks seem just to be a very good against the spread team here, still flying under the radar. You know, they took care of business against the Lakers the other night. They've been good coming off a win, 5-0 in their last five following a straight-up win. I'd look here at the road team.
Yeah, this is a good opportunity here for this Knicks team if they can get it going defensively. I don't have an interest in taking the Knicks in this spot. For me, it would be more of a play on the home team in this one, but I'm going to stay away from this matchup. I don't have a real feel for it. So I want to see, though, if the Knicks defense can kind of really just assert themselves on this Pelicans offense. If they can do that, I think they have a great chance to cover this game. And not only that, of course, win this one. Want to go to one more game tonight. This is going to be between the Miami Heat and the Denver Nuggets. Now, this is going to be the first game the Nuggets play, of course, without Jamal Murray. Your Miami Heat coming in at 28-26. This is a Denver team at 34-20. They are on a two-game losing streak, but how does this team respond now without having Jamal Murray in the lineup for the rest of the year?
Yeah, it's a tough spot, I think, for the Heat here on the road back-to-back. And then, they had Murray, obviously, the Nuggets, when they went to South Florida and took care of business by 27 points back in Miami in January here. I think this is a spot for Denver to get back in the win column without Jamal Murray. I'm not necessarily interested in laying five. Maybe a money line play here.
Also, the other thing I would take note of, anytime you lose a critical player, the performance in the first game usually is not where you start to see the drop-off. It usually comes in games 2, 3, 4 moving forward. I think of the five, a line of five here, I think it's a good opportunity for Denver to be able to cover this number. Let's see if they can do that. That's one to pay attention to. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Chargers. You know, superfan Mike Palm and his Los Angeles Chargers. That's next here on The Nuts. Bet's daily specials, odds boost, and the largest offer of live in-play options. BetRivers Sportsbook is the industry leader when it comes to online sports betting. And to make your experience even more rewarding, BetRivers offers the most live streams of major sports, instant payouts, and only one-time playthrough. BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Offer valid in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Call 1-800-GAMBLER, Indiana 1-800-9 with it. Colorado 1-800-522-4700, in Michigan 1-800-270-7117, Virginia 1-888-532-3500, in Iowa call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Let's go to the Palm Reader's Playbook. Mike, this segment's only about 8 minutes. I don't know if we'll get all your plays in.
Well, since you have multiple plays today, Amal, we might not. Let's talk about it. We varied it a little bit. Let's start off with the three-unit Champions League parlay. I'm going to go to advance in the second legs here. I'm going to take Real Madrid, who won the first leg against Liverpool 3-1 in their home match, to advance minus 380 as they go to Anfield now to take on Liverpool. Yeah. Ramos is out, yes, COVID, right? Yeah, he's out. Listen, I think Real Madrid just needs to score a goal here. If they score a goal, that forces Liverpool to get three. They're not giving up three goals. First of all, Liverpool didn't score at home for about 2 months. They're not giving up three goals, all right? It's big that they won by two goals in their last match. I think this is cheap, whereas Man City, who only beat Dortmund 2-1, is 650. But I'm going to parlay the two of them. Now, Man City goes to play Borussia Dortmund in Germany, having won 2-1 at home. A little more interesting here, though. Obviously, though, Man City, the better side, they didn't play great, only beating Dortmund 2-1. Dortmund gives up two goals to, you know, Pat Benatar's team, Arminia Bielefeld, They get the bottom of the Bundesliga, scores two or three goals against Dortmund. I'll look for Man City to win the second leg as well. I put them together in a three-unit parlay. This was an early game, Bill 80's email, the Brewers. I mean, Burns has been so good. The bullpen didn't hold up for him in St. Louis. He should be 2-0. He's nothing because he got, with Berrios, the double no-hitter. He's flying under the radar. They're up 2-0 against Arrieta in the third. Things are looking good here. I played that as a full game. Obviously, I like the Brewers' bullpen as well. I played against Brad Keller. Now, you talk about listing pitchers, right? Usually you want to list your pitcher or you just take action. I went with the opposing pitcher. I wanted to face Keller. Keller hasn't been good this year. I have Griffith Canning. I'm okay with it if they started somebody else. I'm just going against Keller. Obviously, you got a good number and played that game over 8.5 as well. We got out of the first inning with Canning there, 0-0 after one. I could have gotten behind, but still it's Keller. You know, he can give up a five spot at any time. At any time that he's on the mound. So I like the Angels here. Like you said, they've played better as of late. And one more play in the hockey here. I focus on what Bennington said when they beat the Knights the other night. We're coming, right? We're coming. Terrific goaltending matchup. Bennington and should be Bennington and Grubauer tonight in St. Louis. As I said last year, they duel in the Lou. I went under 1.5 first period. At even money, you could play under 5.5 as well if you prefer to play full game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be an interesting one to pay attention to. This should be a really just a terrific hockey game overall between those two teams tonight. Looking forward to that one. Avalanche minus 182, Blues plus 155 at home. So we'll pay attention to that game. I've got three plays, Mike. I know you're in shock. You might not even have enough ink in your pen to write it all down.
Well, there's weeks we don't get three plays, so I'm excited.
I've got a game that Jacob added in there in terms of the Angels-Royals over 8.5. Took that one last night, and there's an opportunity now in the in-game. If you want to get in on that one, you're probably going to get an 8.5 as the Royals had the bases loaded in the first inning, and Santana got hit by the ball as he was running the bases. You don't see that too often. And then I've got the Philadelphia Phillies tonight, minus 116. I like Zach Wheeler on the mound here. I'm a big Zach Wheeler guy. To me, when this guy is on, he is as good as any pitcher in baseball. The problem is the consistency with him. If he can find that consistency, I think there's a great opportunity with this Phillies team going up against Peterson and the Mets tonight. 7:10 Eastern against the Mets and Phillies at Citi Field. And then the final game I've got coming up here tonight is going to be the Philadelphia 76ers minus 7.5 against the Brooklyn Nets. I think with only potentially Kyrie Irving in the lineup tonight, he's expected to play. I think that makes a difference. I like this Philadelphia team. And Mike, you brought up a great point, which is this is a game in which Philadelphia needs to win this game. I like them. If you want to play a money line, minus 305 is a little bit high, but still not a bad play if you're a money line parlay better of taking a look at the 76ers tonight.
I didn't know when I asked the question in the first segment or the second segment that you were on this game. But I suspected you might be because of the importance of the game. You keep your plays under the vest. You send them to the producer separately. I mean, you know my plays. I send them out. But
I try not to look at the text when they come from you.
I get it. I get it. I get it. But I like this spot as well in a game that's much more important to Philadelphia than it is to Brooklyn.
Well, you know, here's the other thing. Obviously, Harden hasn't won a title, but Kyrie and KD both have won titles. They've got tremendous experience. I feel like if you're Brooklyn, you're looking at it from a perspective of, hey, get in the postseason, be healthy, and be ready to go. That's why I think what you saw with KD, there was no rush to bring him back. I think it's a similar situation with James Harden as well.
I think it's important for, as you said, the one seed in the East. You know, Philadelphia to get the one, maybe have Miami in that second round matchup, yeah. And maybe not have to go seven, maybe a shorter series, rest Embiid more so that that team's at full strength for an Eastern Conference final.
Look, I still think all three teams in the East, and I know you're including Miami, and I get that, but I'm not a believer in them. I think there's separation between those top three teams and everybody else in that conference. So we'll see what happens. There's something to pay attention to. I want to shift gears a little bit, go to the National Football League, talk about the AFC West. In terms of division, I tend to agree with you. I know I'm teasing you about the Chargers, but Mike, I agree with you. When you look at the talent on that roster, to me, this is kind of a three-tier division. You've got the Chiefs at the top, no question. You've got the Chargers who are in tier two, and then I put the Raiders and the Broncos both in a tier three situation.
I agree, and when we look at regular season, we talked about win totals in a lot of the divisions. This Chargers at 9 is interesting to me, especially a 17-game schedule. I mean, you push at 9-8, right? If you think that they're going to be just barely above 500, the AFC teams get the extra home game this year, right?
Yes.
So they're playing 9 home games. And I think, look, you blow 5 double-digit leads. I mean, how often is that going to happen in a season with Anthony Lynn last year, right? And you know, if Kyrie
That's
does,
remarkable.
If Tyrod Taylor doesn't get punctured, we may not have even seen Herbert play last year, right? And so obviously he didn't play the first few games. Very easily could have beaten Kansas City in that second game where Butker makes all the 50-yard field goals in a row, right? I mean, they should have won that game.
Yes.
And we're not even counting that as a blown lead.
They should have beaten the Saints on Monday Night Football.
We're not even counting that as one of the blown leads, right? I mean, so this team could have been 12-4 easily last year. That's how talented they are.
Well, they should have beaten the Saints on Monday Night Football. Opportunities there. Quickly, want to go
through
the
win. Should have won in Tampa Bay when they decided to run the read option at the end of the first half.
No, it was just a straight handoff.
It's a straight up. But he put it in his belly. It wasn't like he was running into the line. It was like a draw play.
Chargers under win totals at 9 this year. The Chiefs are at 12. I'm going to tell you right now, I like that Chiefs over 12 because do you really believe the Chiefs are going to win 11 games?
Right. They'd have to lose
6 games to lose the bet. Yeah. And with that 17th game, I think it gives them a huge advantage. I don't see them going 11-6 overall, especially if they're needing that game in week 17. So something to pay attention to there. I think it's going to be very interesting when it comes to that. When we come back, we're going to stay on the NFL theme. Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports is going to join us, a very avid bettor as well as had tremendous success in the Circa Super Contest. He'll be joining us next here on The Nuts.
Thinking about getting a VSiN membership? Well, right now we're going to give you a 10-day trial if you go to vsin.com/subscribe, and you can get all we have to offer. Point Spread Weekly, that's the digital magazine that comes out every Wednesday, covers every sport, trends, matchups, full access to the shows. You don't have to be listening to the shows live, although you can on vsin.com. You can go back and watch a replay. They put it in podcast form so you can skip through the sections you don't like as well, focus in on a certain guest or not. 24/7 video coverage we have. And what I really love, I mean, if you paid $1 a day and you don't even pay $1 a day a month, this daily best bets email that Crazy Bill 80 puts out, all of our hosts, Paulie, Mitch, Gil, Michael Lombardi, I mean, Matt Humans, Wes, Brady, all of their plays, but every guest that they have on as well. I mean, you get Gil plus 7 guests every day in that email. I think it's terrific. Go to vsin.com/subscribe, sign up for 10 days, see if you like it, and then you can become a full member. Welcome back into The Nuts. This is Mike Palm, and he's Amal Schwab, and we're very happy, Amal Schwab, we're very happy to have Frank Schwab on from Yahoo Sports. Frank, obviously, great writer, covers the NFL, and the draft's coming up. A lot of folks interested in betting the draft, interested in what their team's going to do. Frank, you wrote a terrific article about will there be a 6th quarterback in the first round. Hasn't been since 1983, but you made a pretty strong case for Davis Mills from Stanford going. Talk to me about Davis Mills and what he might potentially be interested in him later in the first round.
Yeah, and it honestly could be anybody because teams love the 5th round or the 5th year option on these rookie deals. It's something, and you see why exactly. It makes a lot of sense. That's why Bridgewater went with 32nd pick. That's why Lamar Jackson went with 32nd pick. You want that cost control for another year. We saw what happened with Dak Prescott. When you only have 4 years instead of 5, it can get tricky with franchise tags and all, and expensive too. So I think teams, you know, if you're a team that is thinking about quarterback, maybe Broncos or Steelers or something like that, are you more apt to want to draft that guy late first than you are early second? Absolutely. So it only takes one, and I think the team that really makes a lot of sense is the Saints. Look, when your quarterbacks are Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill, it really isn't an answer. It's a Band-Aid. So for a team like that, I can see them jumping on Davis Mills or anybody, you know, whoever they fall in love with. It could be Trask or whoever. It could be, you know, any of those guys. It just takes one team late in the first round that wants a quarterback, that wants the 5th year, whether it's trading up or just staying put and drafting somebody, and you're cashing that ticket. We know 5 are going. I think there's a scenario where 5 could go in the first 5 picks, really. And so you already have 5. You're just sweating out the 6, and it only takes one team to say, yeah, we want this 5th-year option on the guy. If you're the New Orleans Saints, let's say, again, what's more valuable for your franchise, drafting a quarterback there or drafting an offensive guard? I mean, I think it's pretty close to quarterback. So I think at least one team takes that plunge, and you know, maybe it's an overdraft, but I don't care for gambling purposes. I just, as Brent says, as you guys say, your motto, it's all about cash and tickets. And I don't care if it's a good move or a bad move. I just want the sixth quarterback in there so I can cash his bet.
Saints picking 28th. They were 12-4 last year. Kind of want to stay in the Saints for a second, Frank. Winston, or is it going to be Taysom Hill? Who do you believe is going to be the starter there, or is it going to be someone else potentially?
I think it's got to be one of those two guys, just because you're so late in the game that what other option do you really have? I mean, it's not like you're finding somebody who's really ready to come in and start for you this late in the game. So I think it's one of those guys. And the funny thing is, like, everything's pointing to Jameis. Jameis makes sense to me. He really does. To go on a quick aside, for all the bad we talk about with Jameis Winston, and it's deserved, we all know it, he's still a guy that threw for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns 2 years ago. He's still a guy who led the NFL in passing. He does good things. Now, the bad things he does completely outweigh the good things. I'm not going to argue with you there. But we can't act like Jameis Winston can't play. Like, he's not he's not first 3 years Sam Darnold. He actually has shown something in the NFL, and I think that Sean Payton, if there is a guy who can somehow, some way, kind of, you know, get Jameis to play good football, I think it's Sean Payton. But I keep coming back to this. Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill. Like, he just has this infatuation with Taysom Hill. He was taking one of the five best quarterbacks of all time off the field to put Taysom Hill on the field. So I can't rule out Sean Payton just falling back to this infatuation he has with Taysom Hill and starting him week one. So it's going to be interesting. I think that we might see both guys play a lot, which really hasn't happened much in the modern NFL, but it could happen because Sean Payton really doesn't care what we think. He's just going to do what he wants to do. So I think it's a fascinating question. I don't know the answer. If I had to guess, it's going to be Jameis, but I can't rule out Taysom because Sean Payton just loves that guy.
We're talking with Frank Schwab, NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. You can find him on Twitter at Yahoo Schwab. Let's talk about another team that has two quarterbacks, but maybe they don't have any, the Carolina Panthers. Obviously, they traded to get Sam Darnold. They have Teddy Bridgewater. Matt Rhule has said we're going to evaluate all positions, including quarterback. Is he being honest here, or is this more just draft talk subterfuge, Frank?
Yeah, and this one, I mean, and I don't know if you guys want to talk about number three and the 49ers later, but the difference between the 49ers at three and the Panthers at eight is the Panthers have a reason to lie. Like, let's say, I think it's very smart for them, either way, whether it's telling truth or lying. If Matt Rhule says, hey, we haven't ruled out a quarterback at eight, then the Denver Broncos at nine, all of a sudden you might start to get nervous, right? Like, you might start to think, the Panthers might be serious about this. We need to trade up to six or seven to get Trey Lance, to get Justin Fields if he falls, whoever it is. So all of a sudden, if you're the Panthers and you do force that move from the Broncos or the Patriots or whoever it's going to be moving up in the top seven, you then push the player down a slot. All of a sudden, whereas Ja'Marr Chase might go in the top seven, well, now you have another quarterback going in the top seven, and that might push Ja'Marr Chase down to you, and he falls in your lap, or Kyle Pitts, or Penei Sewell, or whoever it's going to be. But I think it's kind of brilliant. I really think it's a smart, smart ploy by Matt Rhule to get out there and say, yeah, we might draft a quarterback number eight. We haven't ruled it out. Now, if he's telling the truth, that doesn't bother me either, because If your answers a quarterback are Teddy Bridgewater and Sam Darnold, you don't have an answer at quarterback. That's Sam Darnold was, I guess, a fine gamble. Like, it may be that this whole notion that it was just Adam Gase holding Sam Darnold back, maybe that works out in your favor and Sam Darnold becomes a star. But I don't think you exactly want to go in with that being your plan A. And if, let's say Trey Lance, let's say Justin Fields, because everybody thinks Justin Fields is wrong. Let's say Justin Fields falls to number eight to you. I don't think you pass that guy up. I think you draft him. And you say, hey, if Justin Fields and Sam Darnold both become great NFL quarterbacks, that's a good problem to have. Most NFL teams don't think that way. I don't know why not. But that wouldn't be your worst option to have two good quarterbacks on your team and then you figure out what to do later. So I think whether he's telling the truth or whether he's doing a smokescreen to entice a trade up by somebody else, I think it's a pretty smart move by the Panthers.
Yeah, I think you make a lot of compelling arguments from Carolina's perspective. You mentioned Justin Fields. San Francisco's drafting at number three. Mac Jones is the prohibitive favorite to land in San Francisco at -230. They have the third overall pick, which they traded up with Miami to acquire.
First of all, do you see him landing there with certainty? Also, how good of a fit is he? And then finally, to me, this is the 49ers window to win now. What does Mac Jones do for them this year with Jimmy G in the mix?
Great questions. And I think to start with the first one, I think we have to come to this conclusion. I know everybody out there does not believe in Mac Jones going three. But here's my deal. And I'm not trying to handicap what I think should happen. I'm trying to handicap the 49ers thought process. And the 49ers have no reason to lie. Unlike the Panthers, who I just talked about at length, and their reasons to lie, the number one pick is set. The number two pick is set. The 49ers already traded up. They're not trading back. They're not trying to get somebody to trade with them. There is literally no good reason for them to put out false information. They're just not. They're going to do whatever they want to do at three. They know that, that Wilson and Lawrence are already off the board. I mean, they're basically on the clock right now. So there's no reason for them to lie. And the people who have been saying Mac Jones at three are very plugged into the 49ers. Let's just say that. Like, if you look at some of the national guys who have said they'd be shocked if it's not Mac Jones at three, look at some of the history between those guys and the Shanahan family, you know, and even John Lynch. I think that I don't think that stuff is getting said unless it's coming from the 49ers and their side they're building, and they just have no reason to lie. So when I'm handicapping what the 49ers will do, I think it's Mac Jones. I have no reason to believe this is a smokescreen because it just, there's no functional reason for it. Now, they might, I guess, change their mind. They might surprise us. There might be bad info. I don't know. But at this moment, I took Mac Jones when it was still plus. I'm glad I did because the line has now moved, like you said, to minus 200, minus 230, whatever it is today. And I think that that's accurate. I think that that's the right move. I don't think it's somebody else, no matter who I think they should draft. Now we get into, do I think this is a good move? Not really. I wouldn't draft Mac Jones over Justin Fields. I don't know what's going on with Justin Fields, and everybody's talking about him off the field and all this. And sometimes a lot of that is garbage. But all I know for sure is what I see as a Big Ten alum, what I've seen on film from Justin Fields, he is a heck of a quarterback. He is, I think he is a fantastic talent. I would draft him three without much question at all, or even Trey Lance. But maybe the 49ers just, look, they march to their own drum. They're a lot like the Seahawks, who they're a division rival. They will draft guys way ahead of where we think they should draft them. They'll sign guys to contracts that just make no sense in the modern NFL, at fullback, a middle linebacker, or whatever it is. They do things their own way, and they always have been that way. So if they think Mac Jones is they just see something in him and nobody else does, well, they're going to go with that. They're not going to worry about what everybody else says. And it's funny because before all this happened, I was actually really high on the 49ers, and I'm sure you guys were. Actually, the odds are really high on them having a great bounce-back season. I give them a total mulligan for last year. It was just a weird COVID and injury year. But now it's like, well, what are they going to do at quarterback? Is it really Mac Jones is a rookie? Because number three overall picks do not sit. That does not happen. And guys with $27 million cap charges do not sit. There's no reason. So one way or another, the 49ers are going to do something weird at quarterback, and I don't know what to make of it at this point.
Frank, thanks for all the great betting info. Next time we have you on, we're going to ask why the Wisconsin men's basketball team had such regression, if there's a time for a changing of the guard up there in Madison. Thanks for the time, Frank.
Oh, boy. Wait, clear out an hour for that one because I could talk for days on that.
All right, Frank. Thanks so much. Stay tuned to VSiN. Up next, betting across America.